meditations of my heart be for good pleasure in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Arise, be enlightened, for thy light comes, and the glory of Jehovah has risen upon thee. The joy of Christmas is that the Lord is with us in a new way, in person. A sign of his presence with us is the light that arises upon us when we think of him with love and with some familiarity with his word. Light was a sign of his first coming. The glory of the Lord shone all around the shepherds, and a beautiful star arose to lead the wise men to the Lord. Similarly, the Lord gives light to all those who faithfully look for his coming today and come to worship him in their lives. Why did the Lord need to be born into the world? It was the only way to bring light to the human race, light to see what is good and true, so that we may reject evil and choose good. The Lord is the only source of light. We read, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In him was life, and the life was the light of men." That was the true light that enlightens every man who comes into the world. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, full of grace and truth. Of all truths, the most important is the acknowledgement that the Lord is divine man. It opens our minds to receive all spiritual light. There are two sides to this truth. On one hand, we need to acknowledge that Jesus, who was born into the world as a man, is God, having all power in heaven and on earth. On the other hand, we cannot think of God at all except in the human form, our Lord Jesus Christ. Trying to think of the divine apart from the human form is like staring out into the universe. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has made him known. This is why it was so important for the Lord to put on the human form, even by being born, and then make that human divine, by infilling it with the glory of his divinity. We can love the Lord only according to the way we think of him as divine man. To think of God as man means not only to picture him in a human shape, but especially to know that the almighty and everlasting God, the creator of heaven and earth, loves us and has a wise, understandable plan for us. We need to be able to see that he is leading and teaching and taking care of us in ways that we can follow and respond to. The better we understand and follow the Lord's teaching, loving him above all things and our neighbor as ourselves, the more we see God as divinely human. We learn to be human beings in his image and likeness. So Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Let us think about the way the Lord brings us spiritual light, and then we will see how the Lord changed this way at his coming. Since the Lord is the source of all life and light, he appears as the radiant Son of heaven. The spiritual warmth and light from the Lord fills the angels with heavenly life, just as the natural sun supports our life in this world. Because the Lord fills the angels with his Spirit, they cannot think of God in any other way than as divine man, as he is. The Lord then makes use of angels to bring his heavenly light and heat to the minds of people on earth. The Lord sends angels to be with us all the time, to guard us from the influence of evil spirits, and to lead us to good as far as we are willing. So, both directly from the Lord himself and indirectly through angels, we are led to think of God as human. We read, "There is implanted in everyone who receives any influence from heaven the ability to think of God in a human shape." We also receive light to understand what is just and fair, what is moral in human society, to see the truth or falsity in what people say about spiritual things. In all these ways, we gain a sense of what is truly human. The light of truth comes from the Lord by an inner way, but the knowledge of truth comes only from the Word, through our external sight and hearing. The knowledge that there is a God and that he is divine man must be learned. It is not inborn, and it does not just occur to a person to think that there is such a thing as God. The light of heaven only gives us the ability to understand the things we learn. Without knowledge, light is not received. You can only see a sunbeam shining in a window when it catches little bits of dust floating in the air. Similarly, spiritual light needs knowledges to shine on to be received. Knowledges of the Word are like mirrors in which we can see the Lord's face, as if the Lord were standing behind us, looking over our shoulder while we read his Word. So two things are necessary for people to receive spiritual light: a clear pathway into their minds from the Lord through the heavens, and distinct knowledge of the Lord from a good understanding of his Word. In ancient times, the highest or celestial heaven was the only heaven. The light with men in the world before the Lord's advent came entirely by way of the celestial heaven. The knowledges in which the light was received were representations of the Lord who was going to come into the world someday. All the churches before the Lord came into the world were representative churches, focused on imagining what the Lord would be like when he came. Because he had not yet come to put on his own human form in this world, he sent angels to represent him to men on earth and to teach them about himself. The Lord so completely filled these angels of the Lord with his Spirit that for a time their own personality was asleep, and they spoke the divine word itself from him. The books of the Old Testament were written under this kind of inspiration. In addition to the angels who represented the Lord, the men of ancient times knew how the natural things of this world correspond to the Lord, and so they made images to help themselves visualize the Lord's qualities. For example, they represented his divine omniscience by a far-sighted eagle. They made images of lambs to remind them of his innocence, and so on. The Word is written completely in such correspondences. So, people in ancient times had celestial light from within and a correspondential word to receive and reflect the light from without. But from the time of the fall, men progressively turned away from the Lord and the light of heaven. More and more, they thought only of themselves and this material world. They ignored and then forgot about the spiritual and divine things in their representations, and they began to worship the images themselves as gods. Charity grew cold. Eternal life was forgotten. In the course of time, men removed themselves so far from the innocence and mutual love of the celestial heaven that celestial angels could no longer be with them and enlighten them. Their celestial wisdom could not penetrate to the low, perverse state of the human mind. Moreover, the celestial angels themselves are not pure, so they could not transmit a strong enough love and light to men on earth to keep the human race in freedom to see and respond to the truth. So the word became a closed book. For behold, darkness covered the earth, and dense darkness the peoples. Darkness represents falsity, and dense darkness represents falsity arising from hatred. Falsity so dense that evil is no longer recognized as evil. If the Lord had not come, complete insanity would have filled men's minds, and human beings would have slaughtered each other to extinction. This spiritual night reached its depth when darkness was over all the land from the sixth to the ninth hour, from noon to the middle of the afternoon on the day of the crucifixion. It was the darkest hour before the dawn. The gloom was gathering when Isaiah was inspired to give this prophecy of hope. Arise, be enlightened, for thy light has come, and the glory of Yehovah has risen upon thee. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and dense darkness the peoples. But Yehovah shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. In the supreme sense, these words are addressed to the Lord himself on earth. The glory of Yehovah being risen upon him signifies the glorification of his human nature. Even as to his human, he became the divine love and wisdom, the divine warmth and light, right down to the flesh and bones. The glory of Yehovah being seen upon him means that now the light or glory that enlightens everyone in heaven and on earth is seen coming from the Lord in his own divine human. The Lord shall now be to us an everlasting light, and our God our glory. By coming into the world and by making the natural human form, which he then put on, divine, the Lord is able to be with us in his own person, instead of through angels and representations. We can see him as he really is, especially in the Gospels. Now he can enlighten not only our rational ideas of him, such as we gain from the heavenly doctrine, but even our natural ideas of him, such as we gain from the literal story of his life. He can guide the way we think of him and the way we understand his commandments, so that our ideas can be vessels receiving a true love to him and toward our neighbors. The Lord fulfilled all the prophecies of the Old Testament, filling them with light. He broke up the clouds of misinterpretation and abuse of the word, so that everyone who wants to can see God clearly. We can know how we should live in order to be his disciples, following his example, and inherit eternal life. I have come as a light into the world, Jesus said, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. By such revelation, the Lord established new heavens in the spiritual world, and the evil fled into hell. Then there was peace, both in the spiritual world and on earth, for men of good will. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them the light has shined. Light is sown for the righteous, and gladness for the upright in heart. Unto the upright there arises light in the darkness. The greatest peace comes from walking, that is, living, according to the light of the Lord. The Lord's light is not a cold, wintry light, except to those who reject the truth and the love that comes with it. For those who are willing to obey, his light brings warmth, hope, and peace, even while it also calls us to repentance. The more clearly we see the Lord and where he is leading, the more gratitude and love we feel for the perception we gain of how to live a fruitful life and keep away from evil. Such love to the Lord and delight in the perception of his truth is meant by the beautiful gold and the sweet frankincense which the nations would bring to the Lord. May we receive the light of the Lord's coming and walk according to it, that the Lord may be with us, inspiring hope and peace. This is the promise of the Christmas prophecy. Arise, be enlightened, for thy light has come, and the glory of Yehovah has risen upon thee. And the nations shall walk to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. And they shall bring gold and frankincense, and shall proclaim the praises of Yehovah. Amen. Now to the one only God, Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.